We got things to still talk about, and we only have a few more minutes to do it. Let's find out what's going on still in Hunterdon. Judge upholds primary election results. Craig Turpin reports that Somerset County Superior Court Judge Yolanda Saccone has upheld the results of the June Republican primary for two borough council seats, according to a report on Tap into Flemington Raritan. A court-ordered recount of the election confirmed that John Gorman and Susan Peterson had won the election. New Jersey Advance Media previously reported and can run in November's general election. The primary results were challenged by fellow candidate Alan Brewer. Four people ran for the Republican nomination to 2 3-year seats, with Gorman getting 163 votes and Peterson getting 161. Brewer followed with 156 votes, and Abraham Seckler got 131. Kim Tilley wasn't challenged in her bid for GOP nomination to the separate one-year unexpired term. The challenge focused primarily on Peterson's residency status, with Brewer claiming that Peterson had not lived in the borough long enough to meet residency requirements by candidates. County Board of Elections Chairman Stuart Polonis previously stated, quote, "We reviewed a residency questionnaire filed by Mrs. Peterson and determined that she was eligible to vote in the primary," unquote. Facing Gorman and Peterson will be Democrat candidate Harry Gerds, who wrote his name on the Democratic ballot in the June primary and won his party's nomination. As of Monday, fellow Democrat Joey Novick's name continues to appear on the ballot. Gerds' acceptance of the nomination had been received by the Hunterdon County Clerk's Office on Monday morning. No Democrat filed to run for the unexpired term. So, there you go. We can count on a interesting little event to take place there in November, for the votes. Looking at little upcoming news, the Hunterdon Harmonizers to hold free singing lessons this fall. Community bulletin from the 11th of September says that men of ages or of all ages are invited to participate in free singing lessons provided through the Hunterdon Harmonizers, Hunterdon County's premier men's chorus. Don Reckonbell, the Harmonizers' musical director, is teaching a free course titled Ready, Set, Sing this fall in Flemington. "Give us 6 Tuesday evenings," Reckonbell said, "and we'll give you the skills you need to experience all the fun of solo or group singing. Classes run Tuesdays at 7:30 for 1 hour each from September 20th to October 25th at the United Methodist Church on 116 Main Street in Flemington. Singers of all skill levels and experience are invited, and all learning materials are free." Quote, "You don't even need to be able to read music," Reckonbell said. "We'll teach you everything you need to know to sing richly and with resonance to produce ear-pleasing harmony. Our participants will quickly be producing beautiful harmony without the aid of a piano and the company of the great bunch of fellow singers. In our experience, we have found that everyone sings, whether it be in church, in the car, or in the shower. People have a natural desire to express ourselves in song," Christian Hunter, president of the Hunterdon Harmoners, said. "But many of us are unsure about singing in front of others. Through this program, we want to help men get the most beautiful sound possible from their voice. Advanced registrations are appreciated, while walk-ins will be welcome. Contact the group at 908-806-NOTE, which is 6683, or freesinginglessonsflemington@gmail.com to register or for more information. The Hunterdon Harmonizers are part of the 24,000-member Barbershop Harmony Society and meets Tuesdays at Flemington United Methodist Church and always welcomes new singers. Visit njharmonizers.org to learn more about the group." It's great stuff. If you have some time to do it, I highly recommend you get involved. It's a lot of fun. And so that brings us to a close for today. It's been my pleasure to be with you, as I am every weekday morning, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. I'll be back again Thursday. Got an obligation tomorrow. So Vince Arlino says, "Never say I should have. Hey, you only get this roller coaster ride once. If one of the things you've always wanted to do is sing and perform and get into harmonizing, a cappella, The harmonizers are the place to do it. Go and check them out. 7:30 in Flemington at the United Methodist Church. You'll have a lot of fun, meet some great people, and perhaps create some new friendships. Something to do, productive, and great for the brain, great for the ego, and great for the emotions. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. You've been listening to Good Morning on the UnchableRare.com. Thanks for listening.
All right, it is 11:05, and we're going to go right into 100inChamberRadio.com weather. It is currently 76 degrees with mostly sunny skies here in Flemington, New Jersey. Looks like the rest of the day today we will continue have some continued sunny skies with a high near 83. For tonight, partly cloudy skies with a low around 59. For tomorrow, Wednesday, mostly sunny, definitely getting a bit hotter with a high near 88. There's a slight chance of some showers kicking up tomorrow night, Wednesday night. Then Thursday, we're back to more reasonable weather, sunny with a high near 75. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low of 51. And it looks like Friday and Saturday should be in the mid to upper 70s with sunny skies. Saturday night, slight chance of some showers. And then it looks like Sunday, there's about a 50% chance we could see some precipitation coming back into the area, something we haven't seen in quite some time. But we'll see as we get closer. So that's 100inChamberRadio.com weather.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Good morning. You're listening to 100inChamberRadio.com. It is time for Some Things About Money. I'm Michelle Heide. With me, Joe Patton. We are both certified financial planners with Patton, Heide & Associates in Annandale, New Jersey. Well, gee whiz, Joe, things are looking a little red out there today. And
yeah,
I'm perusing the headlines, and there's all this doom and gloom coming back into the picture. What's happening?
Isn't it great? I love this stuff. Well, the Dow's down 213 points. The S&P is down 29.82. The Nasdaq's down over 58, obviously, all over 1% to the downside. Europe, they don't seem to be all that concerned. I mean, they're down, but the DAX is down all the 5 points. The FTSE down 6. The CAC in France down 29. No big deal there. Maybe one of the big deals would be oil prices falling after the IEA forecast showed a darkening outlook. Oil is sitting currently down $1.31 a barrel to $44.98. And with all of this fear, false emotions are hearing real. Gold is at $1,328. That is up $3.20, or a quarter of a percent. The 10-year, well, the yield is up to 1.687%. So still concerned a little bit about the talk of a potential Fed rate hike and, you know, some oil volatility, which is raising some concerns in the bond market. So that's where we stand there. So, Michelle, how was your weekend?
My weekend was good. Busy. Back into full swing with soccer season.
Yes, mine too. I was watching the 9/11 ceremonies, and I was rather fascinated by Hillary Clinton and the show that the media put on and her people put on afterwards. I have a question. You're a mom.
Yes.
You have young children, and, you know, when you had a young baby at home, and Mom came in after, you know, fainting as she was trying to get into a car because of the excessive heat and humidity. Excuse me. How close would you allow Mom to the baby?
I would not let her near the baby.
I didn't think so, and most people I asked that question have said the same thing. So it kind of makes you wonder how or why the people from the campaign were saying that, well, that's what she was doing. She was, you know, she's rehydrated. She's feeling much better. She was just playing with the baby. Okay. Once again, believable, not
so much.
Yeah, the other thing was, if you have pneumonia,
Are you going to rally that easily? All of a sudden you go from basically collapsing in the arms of Secret Service agents to walking out the front door of your daughter's apartment. Oh, beautiful
Nobody
day in New York.
That I know that has had pneumonia has definitely, you know,
yeah,
has,
I don't know
not
of anyone
that
like
quickly.
That either. So is there a possibility that maybe this pneumonia story is a little shaky here? Again, I'm not a doctor, and I far be it from me to say that anybody from her campaign would tell anything but the truth, but it does make you wonder, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt about it. But, you know, the markets, let's talk money. You know, everybody's still wondering whether or not the Fed is going to raise, and folks, eventually they have to. Yes, I know the unemployment numbers were weak, and yes, I know the wage numbers are weak, and, you know, yes, I know the labor participation numbers are weak, and taking a look at the projections for U.S. as well as global GDP, weak, and taking a look at interest rates overseas, especially in many European countries, being negative, very weak, and with all of that money leaving those areas to come to the U.S. where we're actually paying a positive number, you kind of wonder from a supply and demand standpoint, why would interest rates have to go up when there's obviously such demand for our debt? I don't know what the answer to that is because it just isn't readily apparent to me. Although there are a lot of financial institutions, I think they have the same names as the ones that were paying large amounts of money to Hillary to speak. They seem to be lobbying for higher rates because, after all, without rates going higher, they're not going to make any money, are they?
No, they're not.
No, they're not. So, I don't know. You kind of connect all of these dots, folks, and, you know, you kind of wonder whether or not within the context of the conversation, not knowing where Aleppo is may not be that big a deal. As far as the other major party candidate is concerned, boy, I can't wait to the first debate. I don't know about you, but it is going to be one heck of a show.
Yes, and, that it will be.
Yeah, I would actually like to learn something new, but I'm not sure that that is going to be one of the outcomes. However, it is what it is until it isn't. So what are we going to talk about today? Well, we could talk about more on the markets and some market strategies or some outlooks for 2016. Mm-hmm. I have a story here from Dr. Sol as it relates to, I guess, how do I say this? You know, a story. What is a story that – a parable. That's the word I'm looking for. Using the gas shortages of the 1970s, there's a parable here as it relates to some of the conversations about the need to put price controls on pharmaceuticals. And we'll talk about how that worked out for gasoline back then versus how it may work out for pharmaceutical access today.
And, stock up on your pharmaceuticals. Oh, that's right. You can't because you usually can't get more than a 3-month supply of anything.
Well, that's true. And you know, the best ones, of course, are probably not of the legal variety.
Exactly.
And what do you have over there to talk about?
Oh, let's see. Talk a little bit about the Affordable Care Act and how, you know, at some point, will some of the health insurance companies need a financial bailout?
Well, we have a number of healthcare companies that are really the only game in town for a number of states here in this country. So that is already starting. What else?
And let's see, on a positive note, 6 keys to more successful investing. And on a day when the market's down across the board, a lot of folks are probably saying, what do I do now? Hey, folks, even though the markets in general are down, Apple is up, Carnival Cruises is up, Best Buy is up. It's mostly the energy companies, both small and large, that are definitely laggards today. And then, of course, as always, we have some information regarding the Department of Labor fiduciary rule, you know, some of the things that you might be thinking or asking or should be asking.
Now,
so,
you were going to be
cover.
Going to an attorney's meeting, and you were going to maybe talk a little bit about that or provide some information on that. When is that?
That's tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. You're a better person than me. You actually have, you know, the courage to walk into a room filled of lawyers.
Okay. Oh, come on. They're not that bad.
No, they're not
they're
bad
nice
at
people.
All. They're challenging.
They're just doing their job.
Yeah, I have a close and personal relationship with one for the last how many years. But so I do know what I'm talking about. But with all that said, I think it's time to take our first break of the show. And when we come back, we will talk about more things about money.
All right, you're listening to Some Things About Money here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
All right, we are back. You're listening to Some Things About Money here on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Again, this is Michelle Heidi with me, Joe Patton, both certified financial planners with Patton Heidi & Associates. Feel free to reach out to us at our office, which is 908-713-6600, if you have any questions or would like to sit down and pick our brains a little bit.
So, Michelle, what happened yesterday? I mean, the S&P 500 index rallied almost 1.5%. You know, I guess the concerns over a near-term Federal Reserve rate hike in the U.S. sort of receded. Telecom, consumer staples, they led sectors higher, with technology and healthcare also beating the overall market. Markets were lifted by Fed Governor Brainard, saying that the case for a preemptive interest rate hike was less compelling. In a speech to the Chicago Council of Global Affairs yesterday, she noted continued slack in the labor market, disinflationary pressures, and weak demand from abroad as reasons to take a slow and steady approach to rising interest rates. The comments were generally in line with her more dovish statements made previously and helped to quell concerns that her speech might foreshadow an interest rate hike at the September 2021 FOMC meeting. Not surprisingly, investors interpreted the reversing her speech as a communication the FOMC would remain on hold this month. Other speeches from the Fed officials previously had a more hawkish tone, prompting concerns the Fed would move as early as September. However, following Brainard's speech, market-based odds dropped, indicating only a 15% chance the FOMC would raise rates this month. Now, the Fed will now move into its quiet period ahead of its policy decision, leaving markets to its own devices. And, you know, when it comes to gaming near-term interest rate direction, look for inflation, retail, and consumer confidence data this week to be key barometers for Fed watchers. You know, September, well, despite the snapback in equity pricing on Monday and following Friday's steep and sudden decline, the S&P 500 index is lower by 0.5% month to date. The recent rise in volatility has fueled chatter around September being the worst month for stocks. According to FactSet, the S&P 500 is down 56% of the time during September dating back to 1928. September has also seen more 5% or more monthly declines compared to any other month dating back to 1945 and is tied for August for the worst average monthly return. According to the Stock Traders Almanac, September has seen an average decline of 0.5% in the S&P 500 index going back to 1950. More recently, the S&P 500 was down 2.6% last September following China's currency devaluation in August and was lower by 1.6% for the month during 2014. However, since the financial crisis, U.S. equity performance has been generally split between positive and negative results during September, with four of the last 7 years seeing gains. And that was, again, according to FactSet data. Although we anticipate a bumpier ride for stock prices over the near term, we continue to believe corporate and economic fundamentals can act as stabilizing factors over the intermediate term. Let's see. Asia Pacific equities finished mixed overnight. People's Bank of China denied that it is intervening when it comes to supporting yuan, right? Reports have surfaced that the People's Bank of China has asked banks to support the yuan by selling dollars, and while some believe that China's central bank has earmarked the 6.7% level for support in its yuan fixing rate. According to FactSet, the People's Bank of China has injected additional liquidity into the system through reverse repos, the first time that's happened since February. While yuan stability could be coming at the expense of equity markets and China's ultimate goal for yuan internationalization. Separately, retail sales and industrial production in China beat consensus for the month of August and demonstrated improvement over more subdued levels in July. You know, we were talking about the market drivers yesterday. A couple of them are actually the overweight positions that Ameriprise has as far as sector allocations go. You know, right now, Ameriprise is talking about being slightly overweight in, well, information technology, and telecom, equal weighting on financials, healthcare, consumer staples, and discretionary. And currently, they are underweight energy, which, again, is taking a beating today, materials, and utilities. Let's not forget industrials. So, you know, that's kind of a what happened yesterday and where we stand as far as how we see things going forward in sector allocation weightings. So what's happening now, Michelle? What's the market doing?
Right now, the market is, let's see, it looks like the Dow is down 233 points again, being led by the energy sector. S&P down 31, NASDAQ down 62. There was also an announcement made within the past, 15-30 minutes that Atlanta Fed President Lockhart will be stepping down on February 28th. And let's see, the big headline right now on CNBC is a picture of Dalio, who sees, quote-unquote, a dangerous situation with global debt. Ah. Yeah, and then we have, let's see, Geithner, scary erosion of the political center is the biggest threat today. Investors are still afraid of what happened in 2008. And the American Armed Forces will protect the U.S. from instability, a money manager says.
Oh, good. So we're going to have troops in the street when the whole financial system collapses. And yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't know. But there's uncertainty, there's opportunity.
So you see, don't vote for Donald Trump because all of the people on Wall Street and all of the bankers say that he's not good for the economy. Really? Is that why 98% of the money is going to Hillary Clinton? Maybe.
So it's a filthy world out there when it comes to money and politics.
But, you know, that's why like the national stuff is so fascinating because we're so far away from it. We don't know these people personally. We, you know, their kids aren't in school with ours, and we don't do business at their businesses. And oh, yeah, that's what they used to do before they ran for office locally, before they were on town council or a mayor or, you know, freeholder, whatever it happens to be. And, you know, it's a lot less scary when you get to see these people on a regular basis than it is when you only get them seeing collapsing into a vehicle on national television. But, or is it when they talk about the uranium deals or the percentage of private citizens who make contributions to a foundation for access to the Secretary of State, or you can go on and on and on. We were talking about this in the office before the show, and you know, all of us were having a contest about, you know, how much we can roll our eyeballs as, you know, new examples of all of this stuff would be coming up. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's fascinating to me that, you know, I guess in criminal law, you really need a witness. You need some really hard evidence to get a conviction, where in civil law, it's sort of like, you know, preponderance of all this extra circumstantial evidence as it builds would give juries enough information to either award something or not. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even though, you know, I don't believe Hillary Clinton or anybody on her campaign has committed any type of felony, you kind of wonder, with all of these things that have come out over the last 30 years, you know, if this were a civil case, what the outcome would be. So, yeah, just makes you wonder.
Definitely makes you wonder.
So we're actually beyond the bottom of the hour already.
Getting close to it.
Yeah.
A couple more minutes.
Yeah.
A couple more minutes.
So since we have a couple more minutes,
I'll talk a little bit about, keep everyone awake by talking about the Department of Labor rule.
I love Department of Labor rule.
Since it's your favorite rule that's out there.
It really is.
Just to kind of reiterate, although hopefully our listeners aren't getting tired of hearing about it, but that's just how important it is. But basically, the rule adds a new third standard of care under pension laws for qualified accounts. And what qualified accounts are ERISA plans, you know, things like 401k plans and individual retirement accounts. So almost all discussions between a financial advisor and a retail individual retirement account, 401k plan, participant, client are considered fiduciary advice under the pension laws. That means that the advisor must provide advice in the client's best interest and must comply with an exemption in order to accept any payment that could create a conflict of interest. So, you know, basically, again, you know, the bottom line is acting in your best interest, fully disclosing any potential conflicts of interest, fully disclosing compensation. You know, one of the things, as you've heard us talk about before, is the Department of Labor, you know, basically is only making the rule apply to retirement accounts. Mm-hmm. We think at some point it should be made for all accounts, because why should other accounts be treated any differently? So, you know, again, it's different than the FINRA suitability standard, and it's also different from the SEC fiduciary standard. So with the FINRA suitability standard, basically any investment recommendation made by your advisor just needs to be suitable for you based upon your needs, risk tolerance, and financial situation. As you can imagine, that can be a very gray area.
Suitable is the same as good enough.
Exactly. So based on the information they collect, the questions, hopefully they're asking lots of questions, they put together a recommendation which they feel is suitable for you.
And all of this
may or may not be.
Is going to take effect in April of 2017.
Exactly.
Now, would that have anything to do with a lot of the aggressive sales tactics of a not-to-be-named 401k provider is using to scare employees of a major local corporation into meeting with them to move their money out of their 401k into a rollover IRA
before
the April 7th, 2017 date?
They would never do that.
No, I don't know if that happened. So if you've been getting those types of calls from a 401k provider and you are an employee of a company that you know, is making a change to their 401k, just remember that it may have something to do with the enhanced standards that are taking effect next year. And on that note, can we do the bottom of the hour news and maybe, we'll have weather and maybe an ad or two, pay some bills.
All right. Yes, we're going to the bottom of the hour. And when we return, lots of good information, as mentioned earlier, 6 keys to more successful investing, some commentary as to whether or not the health insurance companies at some point might need a financial bailout based upon how the current rules are related to the Affordable Care Act, and all kinds of other good stuff.
A parable.
We will be back. Yes, we don't want to forget that. We'll probably kick things off with that when we return from our bottom of the hour break. You're listening to Some Things About Money here on 100andChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Why keep it a secret?
Well, I just didn't think it was going to be that big a deal.
Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton discussing her pneumonia that she was diagnosed with on Friday.
I just thought I could keep going forward and power through it, and obviously that didn't work out so well.
That from an exclusive interview on CNN with Anderson Cooper last night. She's off the campaign trail now, and her husband's filling in at a couple of fundraisers out west today.
Bill will now speak today in place of his ailing wife at two Beverly Hills area fundraisers. The first fundraiser will be a luncheon at the home of actor Seth MacFarlane that will include a performance by singer Lionel Richie. Jason Campadonia, Los Angeles.
The NCAA moving 7 championship events out of North Carolina because of the bathroom law passed there earlier this year that requires people to use bathrooms matching the sex on their birth certificate rather than their sexual identity. This is USA Radio News.
It started at Bunko Night. A little tickle in my throat, says Sandra. Then comes Colin barking like a seal. That cough, that's the flu. And then it spreads to Edna, to Wiley, to Marjorie. But when it comes to your door, you won't be answering because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they're seeing doctors and sweating through fevers, you'll be teaching your granddaughter the two-deck shuffle. Shield yourself at Rite Aid before it's too late. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends flu and pneumonia shots. No appointments necessary, and they're free with Medicare Part B. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
GEICO applauds your inner ride leader.
An enthusiastic engine rev goes out to the biker in you who leads the pack. Even if that pack is a party of one, you're still a leader to GEICO. To prove it, GEICO will insure your motorcycle with great rates and 24/7 customer service. And with GEICO by your side, you're never cruising solo, which means you've just been nominated as a real ride leader. Congrats. The smell of fine leather and trailblazing is in your future.
GEICO Motorcycle. See how much you could save.
As the House Oversight Committee opens a second day of hearings into its investigation of Hillary Clinton's email scandal when she was Secretary of State, Utah Republican Jason Chaffetz, who chairs the panel, calls it
one of the biggest breaches of security in the history of the State Department. We have a duty and an obligation to investigate it.
The panel's ranking Democrat, Elijah Cummings of Maryland, says he sees it quite differently.
I believe this committee is abusing taxpayer dollars in an astonishing onslaught of political attacks to damage Secretary Clinton's campaign.
Officials at Ohio University are telling former Fox News chief executive Roger Ailes they don't want his money. The faculty senate voting yesterday to return a $500,000 donation that Ailes had made to the university, and they're also going to take his name off the WOUB-TV newsroom, the decision prompted by the sexual harassment allegations against Ailes, who graduated from the university back in 1962. This is USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today. The daily links at USSportsPages.com.
President Obama is expected to veto a bill that would allow families of 9/11 victims to sue Saudi Arabia in United States courts.
Our concern is not limited to the impact it could have on our relationship with one country, but rather it could have an impact on our relationship with every country around the world.
White House spokesman Josh Earnest insisting the bill would open the U.S. up to lawsuits all around the world, saying it exposes the U.S. government, U.S. diplomats, military members, and some American companies to significant risk. Former British Prime Minister David Cameron is now stepping down as a member of Parliament immediately, and Natalie Powell has more.
Britain's ex-Prime Minister said he felt his role in Parliament would be a distraction from the work of the UK government, which is now under his successor, Theresa May. His resignation as MP of Witney will now trigger a by-election. Cameron had campaigned for Britain to stay in the EU, but following the shock Brexit result, he tendered his resignation as Prime Minister. Natalie Powell, London.
And the first week of the NFL season is now in the books, and the league's annual opening week Monday Night Football doubleheader took place last night. Steelers getting things started, pounding the Redskins 38-16. In the nightcap, the 49ers pounded the Rams 28-0. If you like what you hear here, remember to visit westernjournalism.com and also usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
All right, we're going to do a quick check of the current weather. It is 76 degrees with mostly sunny skies here in Flemington, New Jersey. Looks like the rest of the day we should have continued sunshine with a high of 83 for tomorrow, Wednesday. Kicking it up a notch, high of 88, mostly sunny skies. Thursday, Friday, high in the mid to upper 70s. Saturday, approaching 80. And then looks like the first opportunity for some precipitation in our area comes on Sunday. That's 100 in Chamber Radio weather. All right, Joe. So, where are we now with the markets? Anything exciting happened during the bottom of the hour
break? No, there's nothing exciting happening with the markets. Things are still incredibly red. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, when last I looked, was down about 234 points. Now it's 261 points to 18,063. The S&P 500 is down over 34 to 2124. And the NASDAQ is now negative 70 points, down 1.34% to 5,141. European prices lower. The DAX down over a quarter of a percent. The FTSE down almost 0.4%. The CAC down 1%. So that decline into the close continues lower. Oil prices down down $1.24 a barrel to $45.05. Gold is now at $13.2830 an ounce, up $2.70, and the yield on the 10-year Treasury is up to 1.699%. So a parable. We talked parables.
Yes, parables.
Now I'm looking at, let's say 1970s. Shortages in gasoline. You're a little bit too young.
No, I remember. I remember being a kid and, my parents they could only go to the gas station on certain days of the week or certain dates, however that was. So even though I was young, I remember when it was happening.
Recently, there's been a lot of conversation, especially out of the Clinton camp, about the need for price controls on pharmaceuticals. And how we need to control things and put together a committee and like do all
more
of
committees.
These things to save us from the evil businesses. Well, proposals to control gasoline prices and to tax producers' windfall profits were very popular ideas that were tried without much success during the oil shock of the 1970s and 80s. The era of price controls really is most remembered for, as you said, long gasoline lines at gas stations. The controls were put in place by the Nixon and Ford administrations in reaction to a jump in fuel prices caused by cuts in production by the newly formed International Oil Cartel, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries. Now, that's not the same as Obamacare, but you get the idea. Back then, price controls turned a minor adjustment into a major shortage, said Dr. Thomas Sowell, author of Basic Economics, A Citizen's Guide to the Economy. Dr. Sowell says that although the best response would have been to let prices rise, giving oil companies an incentive to produce more and consumers an incentive to conserve, this basic level of economics is seldom understood by the public, which often demands political solutions that turn out to make matters much worse. The public, as it does today, wanted low prices. But the artificially depressed pump prices imposed during the oil crisis of 1973, which stayed in place in various iterations through 1980, brought about lines at gas stations and an artificial shortage of gas. The price controls resulted in a fuel rationing system that made available about 5% less oil than was consumed before the controls. Consumers scrambled and sat in lines to ensure they weren't left without. Gas stations found they only had to stay open a few hours a day to empty their tanks. Because they could not raise prices, they closed down after selling out their gas to hold down their labor and operating costs, Sowell said. Now, the shutdown of stations that had been open at all hours before price controls further raised the public's panic level and resulted in more lines, anger, and frustration in what many Americans still remember as one of the nation's worst economic nightmares. No doubt, many or most motorists whose daily lives and work were disrupted by having to spend hours waiting in line behind other cars at filling stations would gladly have paid a few cents more per gallon to avoid such inconveniences and stress, Dr. Saul said. Those who preferred not to sit in line bought gas on the black market at exorbitant prices, far above what the market price would have been. Price controls almost invariably lead to black markets. By the Iranian oil crisis in 1979, the controls had grown unsustainably as oil prices escalated in global markets. With lines forming once again and fistfights breaking out at the pump, President Carter quickly waived most of the controls on oil and gas prices to make more fuel available. The resulting sharp price increase ushered in a new nightmare, double-digit inflation, as businesses quickly passed on their higher fuel costs and workers' unions demanded cost of living increases to keep pace with higher prices. The surge in inflation put the Federal Reserve in crisis mode. It ordered its largest ever increase in interest rates in October of 1979, plunging the economy into a steep, deep recession. By the 1980s, Congress and the administration had figured out that price controls were not the answer. President Reagan, who rode into office on anger over the recurrent energy crises and inflation of the previous decade, immediately abolished what remained of oil and gas price controls upon entering office in 1981. Harvard University economist Joseph Kalt concluded that the 1970s price controls had saved consumers between $5 billion and $12 billion a year in gas costs, but at the price of stifling domestic oil production and causing an artificial shortage of as much as 1.4 million barrels a day. But now, by 1986, the deregulation of the petroleum industry led to record production levels and a glut of oil that drove prices down to $10 a barrel. The trend toward low prices and plentiful oil continued through the 1990s as major non-OPEC producers such as Russia ratcheted up output to take advantage of the high oil prices engineered by the cartel. But the eradication of price controls came with a hitch. Congress enacted a new system of windfall profit taxes on oil companies in 1980 in an effort to ensure they did not profit egregiously from their newfound freedom to charge market prices. Now, the tax on the windfall revenues earned by U.S. oil companies when the market prices were substantially higher than their cost of extracting oil turned out to be another bomb. Increased production around the world drove down the price of oil and caused the tax to generate less revenue than expected. By the time it expired in 1988, the tax had generated $40 billion in revenue instead of the $175 billion estimated by the Treasury. After oil prices collapsed in 1986, the tax produced no revenue at all. Because the tax was applied to U.S. oil producers but not international companies, the Congressional Research Service concluded that it had cut production by 3% to 6% and increased oil imports by 8% to 16%. How's that for national energy security? The tax was counterproductive. It discouraged investment in the oil business. Dr. Saul said the profits are the least understood aspect of business and have been under attack since the days of Karl Marx and George Bernard Shaw, who called profits arbitrary overcharges motivated by greed. In reality, profits provide the vital incentive businesses need to make products consumers want at lower prices. Most businesses that succeed do so because they find a way to mass produce items that the public wants at low prices. He said, noting that examples would be Henry Ford's automobile empire and Walmart's international chain of discount stores. In the past century, Dr. Saul noted, social economies were viewed as virtuous because they operated without profits, yet they were never as good as capitalism at generating goods and services that people wanted because of the bureaucratic inefficiencies of state-run economies. Paul Geddes, executive vice president of the Foundation for Research on Economics and Environment, noted that discredited proposals such as price controls and windfall profit taxes seem to come up every time gas prices get uncomfortably high. What is it about raising gasoline prices that causes IQs and body temperatures to converge, he asked, calling the windfall profits tax a transparently absurd act of political pandering? Now, when you relate that to all of the political conversations as it relates to pharmaceutical prices and the controls that the government now wants to place on the pharmaceutical industry, does that sound vaguely familiar? A definition of insanity, one of my favorites, is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result.
Good thing we're relatively healthy.
So.
Very interesting.
Are we now educated?
It gets you thinking. Definitely gets you thinking, yeah. That's for sure.
So just exchange drug prices for oil prices in that article, and you see the point.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I don't know, but if I needed a life-saving medication and I wasn't able to access it, or I was only able to access it during certain periods of time, or if someone determined based on, I don't know, my age or whatever.
The government determined it for you under Obamacare. You know those, they were talking about, what were those boards called? Yeah, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because now if you are a senior citizen under Medicare, there's a lot of concern about end-of-life treatment and whether or not you have access to the type of care and pharmaceuticals that your physician thinks you need.
Mm-hmm.
Because... you know, the companies aren't going to provide the coverage for that. And that is unfortunate. So, you know, it's like anything else. The more government involvement, the more tax they place on something, the less of it you get.
Absolutely.
So, with all of that being said, let's take a last look at the stock market. Now down 241 points on the Dow. S&P's down almost 32. The Nasdaq's down 65. Yuck. I'll tell you, you know, how many times have you heard us talking about when to buy? You buy when the price is low.
Opportunities.
And we haven't had one because the market's been moving pretty much in a sideways position. And I guess as we get closer to the so-called inevitability of higher interest rates, whether it be this month or December, we may actually start to see even more volatility, which creates more opportunity.
Battle of opportunity.
Fear, false emotions appearing real, folks. Don't give in to it. Be very logical. Look at it as a Macy's sale. Everything is like friends and family at a deep discount. And, you know, the quality of the product isn't any less than it was when the price was much higher. The question is, are you going to buy it on sale or are you going to wait for the full retail price again?
And buy it on sale, just like I did this weekend. All right, we're going to take our last break before we wrap things up today.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
All right, and we're back to wrap today's show up. Some things about money. Again, Michelle Heidi with me, Joe Patton, both certified financial planners with Patton, Heidi, and Associates. And a breaking headline that J.P. Morgan now tops Wells Fargo as the biggest U.S. bank by market cap.
Yay.
All right.
Maybe that had something to do with Wells Fargo firing all those people and getting fined for opening up accounts for people without their knowledge.
Yeah, it's never a good thing.
Yeah, that's not in line with the fiduciary standard.
Definitely not in line with the fiduciary standard. I don't know.
So what else you got?
Well, kind of along the lines, not to be...
More fiduciary?
Well, no, not more fiduciary. I want to talk a little bit about the health insurance companies and the fact that we have the deadline looming right around the corner on January 31st to sign up for health care coverage through open enrollment. Many people are being hit with sticker shock on what it's going to cost individual insurance. And I know even group insurance. Again, have we seen our group insurance premiums go down?
No, I know ours haven't gone down at all.
They continue to go up. You know, while it was bandied about that costs would go down when the Obamacare system rolled out, individuals and families across small businesses, large companies, individually are continuing to see their premiums spike. United Healthcare recently announced that they could lose $1 billion from actual results in 2015 and projected losses this year. So, will big insurance companies ultimately need a bailout? Well, first question revolves around the pressure being put on the system. Why are premiums continuing to go up? Well, there are more people in the system. There are so many different reports on exactly how many of the uninsured actually got insurance. But what we do know is that nobody can be denied coverage. Many of those who were uninsured had serious health issues that did not allow them to get coverage. This means that more costs got added to the system. Those that can't afford are subsidized. So there are also many people who simply cannot afford coverage at full price based upon their income. And so Obamacare is set up so health insurance does cost more than a certain percentage of your income. Thus, there are certain income levels for individuals and families to allow for subsidized health insurance. What this means is that some individuals and families pay nothing and some pay a greatly reduced amount to have the insurance. So if more people are paying into the system, guess who pays for the shortfall? Well, large employers now pay fines. Those employers who have 50 employees or more are now subject to significant fines if they don't offer health insurance to their employees. Even if they do offer health insurance, the insurance premiums cannot exceed 9.66% of the employee's income. This year, we will also now be at the highest level of the so-called quote-unquote penalty. Technically, it's a fee and not a penalty. If you forego having health insurance. So the quote-unquote fee is set at 2.5% of your household income or $695 per adult, $347.50 per child to a maximum of $2,085 per family, whichever is greater. The only way the IRS collects this fee that's not really a fee is if you have a refund on your tax return or if you send in the money on the honor code. Yes, we all know everyone is going
Now, remember, this is to help offset the increased cost of all of the people who are greater risk being brought into the pool.
Right, right. So, I mean, how long do you think people will, you know, how long do you think it will take them to adjust their withholding so they're not getting any refund? And since there's no criminal or civil penalty if you don't pay the fine, what do you think the IRS is really going to collect? I mean, we can constantly hear that the IRS is already understaffed, focusing on the other stuff.
So I understand they'll put more of a financial strain on those companies, which means more of them will opt out of the system, which means we'll have less choice as consumers.
Less choice. Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Exactly.
Well, that makes sense.
You know, obviously, many concerns here. So it does make the possibility of a financial bailout at some point down the road a serious possibility if you look at the simple math. So if the claims that the insurance companies pay out continues to exceed the revenue that they bring in the door, only two things can happen. Well, either premiums will continue to skyrocket, which they already are, which is not sustainable for Americans or insurance companies, and be in serious financial trouble. So obviously we have no clue where the government is headed with all of this and our election. don't know if that's going to provide any clear path on how health insurance will continue to evolve. So could this be the next great financial earthquake?
It could be. And also take a look at the reality. As fees or prices of insurance go higher, those premiums, you're also looking at higher copays, higher deductibles. So you have this system now where people are struggling just to make a premium payment, albeit at a lower rate, than perhaps it would be if it was all private. But then they have to get hit with a deductible and the copay. So the reality is many people who have insurance can't afford to use it.
Exactly.
So what good is it?
Right. And the fact that people are saying, well, gee, I can pay that exorbitant insurance premium, or I'll just go without and be, quote unquote, fine but not really fine, and that really doesn't mean anything. And so what I'm going to do, I'm just not going to have any insurance. And, oh, if something terrible happens, well, they're going to have to give me the care anyway, which comes out of the taxpayer's pocket, and then I'll get the health insurance because, you know, maybe then I'll decide to pay for it, or maybe I won't. Maybe I'll just keep doing what I've been doing.
Yeah, another example
and continue
of
to
government
have my
overreach not working well for the American people.
Yeah, it's very, very, very frustrating. Again, not that I have an answer. It's a very complicated system. And however, as we've talked about before, you know, looking at a system like Medicare, which currently is a very efficient system, you're using that as an example instead of starting to create something new. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
Well, the answer is I want control of healthcare. I want control of education. I want control of the financial services industry. I want control of banking. I want control of the military. I want control of energy policy. I want control. I want control. I want control.
Mm.
Seems to be the direction we're taking, folks, isn't it?
Never necessarily.
On that note.
Good thing.
On that note, it is a beautiful day in Hunterdon County. And
yes,
for those of you who have yet to complete your shopping for your children's school wardrobe, I encourage you to get out there and take advantage of this beautiful weather and shop our local vendors, because after all, they are the backbone of our county, as are all of you. And when you do that, just remember, continue to buy Hunterdon and buy often. I want to thank you for listening in. You've been listening to Some Things About Money. This is Joe Patton with Michelle Heide, Certified Financial Planners with Patton, Heide & Associates. And we wish you a great day.
Have a great day. Great week. We'll be back again next week. Don't forget to tune in next week. Actually, we have some wonderful guests coming in on the show. It's Healthy Aging Month. And so we have Chris and Kelly from Nightingale Solutions, and they are going to be sharing lots of great information with all of us in regards
Michelle's
to
bringing them in to work with me.
Caring for, whether it's caring for our parents or other relatives, friends, some of the issues and some of the things to think about. So we're excited to have them on our show next week. Again, we're now officially tuning off. Have a great day, a good week. Hopefully, once we get through these next couple days of heat, we'll be back to September. Nice, cool weather.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Why keep it a secret?
Well, I just didn't think it was going to be that big a deal.
Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton discussing her pneumonia that she was diagnosed with on Friday.
I just thought I could keep going forward and power through it, and obviously that didn't work out so well.
That from an exclusive interview on CNN with Anderson Cooper last night. She's off the campaign trail now, and her husband's filling in at a couple of fundraisers out west today.
Bill will now speak today in place of his ailing wife at two Beverly Hills area fundraisers. The first fundraiser will be a luncheon at the home of actor Seth MacFarlane that will include a performance by singer Lionel Richie. Jason Campadonia, Los Angeles.
The NCAA moving 7 championship events out of North Carolina because of the bathroom law passed there earlier this year that requires people to use bathrooms matching the sex on their birth certificate rather than their sexual identity. This is USA Radio News.
It started at Bunko Night. A little tickle my throat, says Sandra. Then comes Colin barking like a seal. That cough, that's the flu. And then it spreads to Edna, to Wiley, to Marjorie. But when it comes to your door, you won't be answering because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they're seeing doctors and sweating through fevers, you'll be teaching your granddaughter the two-deck shuffle. Shield yourself at Rite Aid before it's too late. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends flu and pneumonia shots. No appointments necessary, and they're free with Medicare Part B. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
Geico applauds your inner ride leader.
An enthusiastic engine rev goes out to the biker in you who leads the pack. Even if that pack is a party of one, you're still a leader to Geico. To prove it, Geico will insure your motorcycle with great rates and 24/7 customer service. And with Geico by your side, you're never cruising solo, which means you've just been nominated as a real ride leader. Congrats. The smell of fine leather and trailblazing is in your future.
Geico Motorcycle. See how much you could save.
As the House Oversight Committee opens a second day of hearings into its investigation of Hillary Clinton's email scandal when she was Secretary of State, Utah Republican Jason Chaffetz, who chairs the panel, calls it
one of the biggest breaches of security in the history of the State Department. We have a duty and an obligation to investigate it.
The panel's ranking Democrat, Elijah Cummings of Maryland, says he sees it quite differently.
I believe this committee is abusing taxpayer dollars in an astonishing onslaught of political attacks to damage Secretary Clinton's campaign.
Officials at Ohio University are telling former Fox News chief executive Roger Ailes they don't want his money. The faculty senate voting yesterday to return a $500,000 donation that Ailes had made to the university, and they're also going to take his name off the WOUB-TV newsroom, the decision prompted by the sexual harassment allegations against Ailes, who graduated from the university back in 1962. This is USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through